Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hutton O'Clock. Noon on a Wednesday, so it is Hutton O'Clock. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike and with Hutton Withrow joins us now. Caroline Willie D. Mace, we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Hut, appreciate you for joining us. It's already been, it's only been one day of mandatory minicamp, and things are already getting spicy. Trevor Maddich went on Jared's show yesterday, and he said he was disgusted by Treylon Burks' effort. He said that after watching him in practice yesterday, he would have cut him based off of his effort. I don't know if you were at practice or not, Hutton, but what is your reaction to Trevor Maddich's evaluation of Treylon Burks at practice yesterday?
Well, full disclosure, and great to be with you guys. The schedule does not line up with the business of meeting for the sake of meeting and what I do on Zooms with
fun?
New York. So, I can't do that.
Meetings that could be emails?
Sure. Meet for the sake of doing, which we do, but, you know, sometimes we meet. I would love to be out there and see this effort because I don't know what to make of it, given that have you guys heard a clamoring of everyone saying this?
No. That was my point. No, not that specifically. Are there questions about whether he has the dog in him? See, this is maybe is a good place.
We've
to
always had that, Willie, right?
To me, it's something different to say he doesn't have that dog in him. To me, that's a trait that you're kind of born with. It's hard to teach that. I don't know that you can put a dog in somebody. You either have it or you don't.
But
I do think effort and practice every day, I think you can not have the dog in you and still be giving good effort. I don't think it's a reputation that he has with that daily, questioning the effort and practice.
I listen to what the coaches say. And they're actually – Callahan didn't mention his name in one of the very first interviews when he's rolling through wide receiver, his core group. And now he's starting to do that. They're getting more questions about that. I know that other coaches are saying that his effort has – and his start has been great. I don't think they would go out of their way to praise that. And Mace, I believe you and I were talking a few weeks ago. Burks has been a big topic and rightfully so. But I said, like, based on what they've added in free agency in the draft and what they haven't done, he's going to be playing special teams. I don't think that's a big surprise that he's working at gunner and working at other spots and will play special teams, given the fact he's fourth on the depth chart. If he moves up on the depth chart due to injury, which is the only way I foresee that happening, maybe we see him not play as many team reps, but that's how you have to be active on game days. One of the 48 is you're playing special teams. If you're the fourth or fifth receiver, I guess in this offense, there could be six or seven active, given how much they want to throw the football, but they're going to treat the running backs as receivers too. So the fourth receiver is absolutely going to play teams. I need to see it for myself to see a guy dogging it. But if that's like the true description of what Maddich saw, and I have no reason not to believe him if he's saying that from his own perspective. I mean, that's alarming given the fact that, I mean, he's been on notice and he's on a rookie contract at a position where there are players getting paid boatloads of money. Now's the time to turn it up, not down.
Yeah, I'm with you. Jonathan Hutton is with us.
Want to judge. I'm not saying I'm all in on the dogging. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I know the track record isn't great, showing up out of shape year one. And here we are already talking about this. But, again, the coaches are saying the opposite. So I'll go with what they're saying publicly because they don't really – I don't think they've been BSing us on the public stance of some of these guys.
And that was the point that I made earlier is if you tell me Jeffrey Simmons is dogging it, like, I'm either not going to believe you or I'm not going to care because I know that Jeffrey Simmons is a proven commodity. It's the fact that this is year three for Treylon Burks and we still don't know what he is.
Well, and right now we do, though. We know he's been surpassed, right? And we know who he was at Arkansas. I'll go back to that. Like, I haven't seen examples of him doing the opposite of anything but playing hard whenever he was in the SEC. So I would stick to what the coaches want to use him and implement him in. And, you know, they're not letting him speak yet to the media, which is intriguing. But he's learning a lot of different positions right now. Maybe that's part of it. And I don't know what period that Trevor Maddich is talking about, unless he's talking about the entire practice, which is also alarming if that's what he's saying.
We'll talk with Jonathan Hutton, talking Tennessee Titans. Now, looking at this situation, Jonathan, what do you – because we're trying to figure out now, because it's Treylon's – he's on his last leg, and we all understand that. You know, he's had 2 years prior to this to figure it out. It hadn't worked out for whatever reason. But what do you think needs to happen? Like, if you want to attach a number to it, how does this season needs to go in order for him to be back next year? Because I think if it goes the way it did last year or the year before that, then they're not going to bring him back. I don't care if he was their first round pick. They're not bringing him back. They're going to move on. But what would be, you think, a sweet spot to say, okay, he's shown improvement. Let's at least, you know, give him that fifth year.
Mace, he needs to accept his role and then – climb the staircase, realize where he is on the depth chart, and climb the staircase.
Stop for a second. You know what? I was just thinking that this morning, that he has to be able to accept his role that he's in, whatever role they give him, whether it be special teams or receiver or whatnot. He needs to accept the role, but then know that he has to move up within that role. He has an opportunity to move up. But go ahead.
And his agent can help him in this area. Look at the reality of what the roster looks like next year based on wide receiver contracts currently. You know, you've got some one-year contracts. You've got Hopkins, who wants the extension, wants to see a two-year deal because he has no more guaranteed money on his contract. There's a lot of different factors right now that should motivate Treylon Burks on a rookie deal with an option to pick up a fifth year or get extended even. He should have a mindset of this is a contract year. I love players that are on contract years at any position. And he should be pissed off for greatness. That should be the motivation. And he's at a great position right now where the salaries are going higher and higher. And, you know, 2 years ago, this organization didn't want to pay A.J. Brown that type of money. You know, like there's plenty to reach out and grab. You can grab the brass ring if you're Treylon Burks. I just don't know where his head's at in terms of doing all of that. We haven't heard from him in that regard. But he doesn't have to embrace. He just needs to accept where he is. Doesn't have to agree with it, but he may need to come to terms with it some. And I think with this coaching staff, if you're fourth on the depth chart in a wide receiver position, you're still going to be integrated into the offense on a weekly basis. You're a part of it. He needs to be available. He needs to be consistent and catch the balls that are in his wheelhouse that he did so well with KJ Jefferson at Arkansas. And he's going to be just fine. But it starts with being available, and it starts with the attitude on the practice field. And again, just one practice observation. I wasn't there. I can't speak to it. But it doesn't sound like it's a glowing review by any means for a guy who is making headlines for working at Gunner on a field across the way during a special teams period, when we're still waiting to see what he's going to do whenever they put the pads on.
Yeah, you're right about that, Hutt. You know, he needs to accept where he is, but that doesn't mean he needs to stay where he is. So once he figures
if he stays
that
where
out,
he is, you're right. I mean, he's on a different roster, or he's Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. And exactly. No disrespect to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, he's stuck around with multiple coaching staffs. But that's not what Treylon Burks was drafted to be. He's not supposed to be a role player. This was a guy that last year was number one on the depth chart before Hopkins got here. Mm-hmm. Like that's this. Now we see how the philosophy and the mindset of the organization has really changed within the coaching staff, because now it's about, we're going to throw the football with a quarterback that can really sling it. And if we rein in the quarterback a bit, the passes should be in that intermediate range. That should be right in his wheelhouse to strike. That should be the mindset of agent to player and then player to the field. That's what I want to see from Treylon Burks. I want to see the guy that I expected and the perception that I had of him from the SEC.
Now, we had a discussion yesterday about certain positions, and I relayed to the team that, you know, there's one position, there were a few, but one in particular, it may not look as a position of concern, but to me it is. I think the cornerback position, not because of the three guys that they're going to have that they project to be their starters, okay. Awuzie, McQuarrie, and Snead. Not that. It's if one of those guys go down.
Yeah.
Then what does this team do? They've spent a lot of money on their two edge corners. The depth may not be there. So if one of those guys go down, and we already know what L'Jarius Sneed's issues are, the knee. Hopefully he can hold up another year like he did in Kansas City, play all 17 games. But we know the nature of this business. Guys are going to get hurt. Guys are going to miss games. So are you as concerned as I am about the depth at that position?
I'm concerned with the NFL quality depth across the roster. But, yeah, I'm with you at corner. That's why I've said they need another offseason like they just had, another full offseason for me to really jump in and say, this is the team that's going back into contention. Because injuries are going to happen. The war of attrition has they have lost the battle and the war the last few years in the war of attrition with health on the roster. And, look, I mean, you're right about the depth. I could say that about several other spots, too. And it – with the philosophy change as well, there's a lot of different factors into that. But they have improved significantly in the secondary going into the season. Mm-hmm. If they stay healthy, they're fine. If they lose one player, they're still fine. But there was a situation towards the end of last year where they've got two or three backups and then a backup to a backup rolled in there. And, you know, we've got Trey Avery playing man on the outside. That's not a good sign for how the defense is going to fare in a crucial situation if you're trying to lock down a defense or as a defense trying to lock down the offense from going down the field and scoring last minute and giving up a big drive in the final 4 minutes of a game. Like that's the crucial part of the wins and losses of the league. And that again, we just got done talking about the investment in wide receiver. The league's throwing the football. And I like what they've done, but what I haven't liked is the last few years where you're seeing the problems with the depth of the roster. And ultimately, that can come back and play a factor. They need another full offseason to replenish what they don't have on that second and third tier. And the second and third tier right now, there's no threat of any of those guys moving up, right? They need to replenish that through the draft and free agency with the idea that they can move up on the depth chart as guys come in and come out based on contract situations. They don't have that right now, and that's where they're really going to be hurt.
So, Hutt, yesterday we had Seth Walder on from ESPN, from the analytics department, and he was talking about how they arrived at the Titans being 27th in their power rankings right now.
Okay.
So we talked about a lot of different things. One thing that I thought was noteworthy, I asked him about what he sees as the combination of Pollard and Spears replacing an aging Derrick Henry. Because he was one that for a long time was saying Derrick Henry the last couple years for the Titans was still good, but there was quite a drop-off in especially the analytics part, the expected yards per rush. So I was curious what he would say about Pollard and Spears. He said the one thing that you have to make sure you know is that the defense will account differently when you don't have Henry. Obviously, Henry was not as productive, but also they were still stacking the box against him.
Oh, yeah.
But he didn't really have a great outlook for Pollard. And one of the things that jumped out to us, he said, once you've had a bad injury, odds are you're not going to bounce back like you were before the injury, which was a little ominous to me. He did say 2 years ago, Pollard was an analytic darling, big time. Dropped off big time last year, but there was a pretty significant injury mixed in there. So what's your thought, because we haven't talked about it much, Pollard and Spears
right.
replacing Henry's production?
Well, I think what they're doing, the production itself from last year, quite frankly, just in the run game, I think early on they will run the football more than what we may expect. But I think the production is the combination of run and pass, Willie. And I think that also, while you may not account for one player with 8 men in the box, you can now rotate in either player or use both players and not be predictable in down and distance what you're going to do with the play call. I think that's also that needs to be factored in, which I don't know how they factor that in with a number until you have some result on the field or some evidence of what they're doing. But point being, if you've got Pollard and you have Spears on the field, but you also have Hopkins who's going to catch everything his way, and you have the ability to throw it to Calvin Ridley or Boyd, or, I mean, even a Treylon Burks, maybe tight end. There are options within the offense now, as long as they distribute the football out of the backfield the way they intend to and the way Callahan has talked about doing, they can do everything with both backs. And they could not do that in years prior. Maybe they could have. They just did not do that in years prior, where first and second down were Derrick Henry downs, third down was not, unless it was third and very short. I looked at that more than I look at, okay, how do they replace one player's production? I think the production gets replaced in the pass game, out of the backfield, in the flats, and on those intermediate routes, crossers and wheel routes out of the backfield with the running backs. Pollard's good in that area too, but he caught 50 passes, I believe. We know Spears can do that. He's certainly capable of that. He was drafted to do that. They have a young version of Pollard, and I think Spears, based on what they said even last year with the same general manager, they view him as a three-down back. So if Pollard, for whatever reason, and he should, they've signed off on it, doesn't come back from the injury as well as what they may have predicted, Spears should be the guy. That's the long-term investment based on where they are on the roster and the position that he's playing. So I think we're seeing more of that San Francisco style to what we've always, praised with Shanahan or with, in some cases, McVay prior to with the Rams and their backfield, and what we saw out of Cincinnati even, where how they distribute the football out of the backfield in some cases. I like what they've done. They need to execute that. And instead of one player being the offense, I think these guys factor in maybe more than what we've discussed, but they factor in as part of the, the piece to the entire body of work, more so than the attention and the football and chain mover, so to speak. That's Henry was doing a lot. There's a lot to put on a running back, which was the face of the offense. That's not the case anymore. And I think that ultimately allowed you to spread the football around a lot more than what you were doing.
I think that's it's a good segue to the next part of what Walder said that I think has us all taking note. Because, again, we have our eye test about Levis. But all that you just said, right, so much was centered around Henry and what you can get off of the defense cheating towards Henry.
Yes.
Now you have a very different way of going about it, and you've got a very young quarterback that you're asking to make that adjustment and maybe have more on his plate. Maybe they're going to throw it more than they have in the last several years since Henry has had them be one of the most run-oriented teams in the league, if not the most in some of those years.
Sure.
So can he do that? Walder doesn't have an optimistic outlook from his numbers. And again, it's not his opinion. This is what the analytics people do.
Yeah.
He had Levis more in the Bryce Young category, a very low in their key metrics. And all of us kind of looked at each other and said, wow, that's a little harsh based on some of the flashpoints that we saw. We saw some – I thought Levis, to be fair, flashed way more in certain games than Young ever did. And, of course, Young was playing for a flat-out awful team. But I just didn't see much from Young last year. I saw enough from Levis that has me hopeful. The analytics department, at least at ESPN, does not agree.
And I think, I'd love to know what the analytics department said about Levis coming out of the draft when Mel Kiper
right.
had him
he admitted that they went, what they had the Texans 32nd in the same metric last year. And, of course, Stroud proved them all wrong. And he's first to say, these are just the numbers. This is not a science every time. We're not right every time.
But it's also the 30,000-foot view that maybe we don't discuss more of, But, maybe this plays into what the numbers are telling him. Callahan came in and was glowing, right, about the one pass to Burks against the Falcons in his first start, right, where he drops it in the bucket against two defenders while there's a defender right in front of him bearing down on him. You got another defender coming from the side, and he lets it loose on a pass where there's no way he could have seen Treylon Burks and where the ball was going to go. He knew where the ball needed to be, but there's no way he could have seen that route develop, but he still let it fly. They want to reel in the let it rip aspect of Will Levis. And maybe there are some throws that he got away with that maybe analytically or the numbers say the percentage chance of that being caught, which Burks didn't catch the pass, or the percentage chance of that not being a turnover or a poor play for you are, you know, higher than what the result was on the field for that particular play for Levis. Maybe that's factoring in. Again, that's giving the numbers benefit of the doubt. I just think he has more weapons around him. And the big if is if J.C. Latham is the left tackle of this team, and there's no question about it, he should be much improved from that. Now, I like his attitude. I like his willingness to tweak some things with whatever, mechanically they want to work on with him. And I think the other thing is he's taking the receivers and part of the offense out to a retreat between now and training camp. I think that's another leadership step for him. I like what I've seen from Levis, despite whatever has held him back from being a first-round pick or being the top 10 pick or being the quarterback that everyone was raving about, and then all of a sudden they weren't, but Kiper was still on board with, and it's almost, he's a backup quarterback. Now, I think that's far from it. And I think that also factors in the closer view that we had than maybe the attention that was paid to Levis over the course of a season since he made his first start. And I don't blame a lot of people for not watching a ton of Titans football last year. But that also factors into sometimes, you take the numbers, but you also have to add the other ingredient of what's realistic, what were the expectations, who was playing in front of him, and who was he throwing the football to? And in many cases, those answers are not NFL satisfactory at all. And we still sit here and think that he's got a lot more in the tank than what maybe some of the other quarterbacks that have been through that door over at their practice facility have been able to produce.
Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutt, appreciate you as always. We'll catch up with you next Wednesday.
Yeah, I look forward to this each week. Guys, have a great rest of the week.
Awesome. Thanks, Hutt. You too.